Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have poured out your Spirit upon us, that as your people we can all know you in us, living alive, empowering us, equipping us, enabling us to be the people you've called us to be. So help us, Lord, now, by your Spirit, to understand your word, to apply it in our hearts and lives, and to go out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost must have been incredible. The small, close-knit community of people who had been on such a roller coaster ride with Jesus, now once again gathered together in one place. When suddenly, there's the sound like the rush of a violent wind. Suddenly, tongues of fiery flames break out amongst them. And suddenly, they are filled with the promised Holy Spirit. And instantaneously, they find themselves all babbling away in languages that they'd never learnt. I could do with that when I travelled to France in the summer, but never mind. It was powerful stuff. So much so that the crowd quickly gathered outside. A crowd who were amazed and astonished at what was happening. A crowd comprised of people from all around the known world, each of them simultaneously hearing in their own language a declaration of God's mighty deeds of power. And as we know, this pouring out of God's power at Pentecost wasn't just a one-off event. It wasn't just an exciting spiritual experience for those present on the day. But the pouring out of God's power at Pentecost ran on. It motivated and empowered the likes of Peter and Paul to spread the good news to the ends of the known world. And it equipped them to communicate boldly and clearly the good news of Christ crucified, Christ risen, and Christ glorified. The Spirit was up and running. The good news was being shared. Lives and communities were being transformed. The church was growing and flourishing. Powerful and dynamic times. Wonderful. So what about today? What about us? To be honest, the Spirit might have been up and running in the early church, but my experience is that it often feels more like the Holy Spirit isn't so much up and running as slouching and dawdling. Is that about you, or is that just me? Well, of course, we can't directly compare our daily spiritual experience with the powerful turbocharge of the Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost. Because Pentecost was a decisive turning point in God working out his purposes. And so our daily lives, although God continues to work out his purposes by his Spirit in them, perhaps don't need to be quite so overpowering and so overwhelming as that first day of Pentecost. We'll be familiar from sermons over the years about Pentecost that Pentecost has a lot to do with power. Jesus promised, didn't he, that we would receive power, that his disciples would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And so I want to take just a few moments now for us to consider what we can learn about the nature of power by comparing and contrasting two of the set lectionary readings for today. Now, actually, the first one we didn't read out, because the lectionary instructs us to use the Acts reading and we need to have a Gospel reading. But the first reading was from Genesis chapter 11, which is the story of the Tower of Babel. So I'd like just to compare and contrast. Remember those essays at school, compare and contrast? Compare and contrast these two stories briefly for us to reflect together on the nature of power. So first of all, we've got Babel. Well, in the situation of Babel, the people were feeling buoyed up by their accomplishments. They successfully worked out how to make bricks and mortar. And now they were embarking on building a city. and at the heart of this city building a tower that would have its tops reaching into the heavens. But despite aiming for the heavens, this is not a city and it's not a tower that's intended to give glory to God. But rather, it's a city and a power that's meant to bring fame and glory to the people of Babel, to themselves, to show off how clever and successful they are. The building of Babel is a godless enterprise, a secular endeavour of human power. The building of Babel is really a power grab by humanity, usurping the glory and the place of God. Interestingly though, despite their apparent bullish confidence, we also detect feelings of insecurity. They are afraid that they will be separated and scattered. And so in seeking a sense of security, they adopt a safety in numbers approach, which of course proves to be a false security. And of course, as a result of their actions, the very thing that they had feared actually comes about. They are indeed forced apart and scattered over the whole earth because they can no longer understand each other or work together. Presumably, it might be where we get the phrase from, we no longer speak the same language. And we use that phrase often, don't we, when we talk about relationship breakdown. They had been full of themselves and their accomplishments, grasping after power and glory. But after Babel, they can no longer pretend that trying to usurp God's place in their lives and civilization makes any sense. So that's the story of Babel. And then we come to Pentecost. Here we don't see a human power grab, but rather, in contrast, we see God giving power. And we see humans receiving power. Receiving the Holy Spirit, just as the risen Jesus had promised. And so in placing these two readings together, we perhaps can see that this is a dramatic and wonderful reversal of what we see happening in Babel. In Babel, the people are arrogantly self-reliant, guilty of trying to be like God, guilty of seeking glory for themselves. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter and the other apostles in a powerful and supernatural way that they can't even begin to pretend is their own doing. The disciples are only too aware that they are nothing without God's power. In Babel, the people are trying to make a name for themselves, and they end up failing. Well, actually, they do make a name for themselves in a way, don't they? But it's not quite the name that they'd intended. They end up being scattered and separated, no longer able to work together or understand each other anymore. At Pentecost, God's power is made known. The name of Jesus is exalted. And the scattered people of God from all around the world are brought together. In Babel, the people have been alienated from one another and can no longer understand one another. At Pentecost, the people are gathered together, and despite their different languages, the Holy Spirit enables them all to understand. God's own words, the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ, now unite them. And so Peter rises to his feet and addresses the crowds. And in his speech, Peter sets out the great paradox of God's power. Here are the apostles, simple men, uneducated by and large, not trained as linguists, making themselves heard and understood to this diverse crowd who have gathered from all around the known world. And Peter points to an even greater paradox, a greater paradox of power, of how the power of God was at work through the crucifixion of Jesus. So today, as we celebrate Pentecost, our readings prompt us to reflect on the nature and the paradox of power. And for us, there's both encouragement and warning. I've lost my place, so there we go. First, there is a great encouragement for those of us who don't feel powerful and are all too conscious of our own mistakes and weaknesses and our vulnerabilities and our limitations. And the encouragement is that actually we see in the story of Pentecost, as indeed we see throughout the rest of Scriptures, how over and over and over again God chooses to empower and to use those who seem weak and inadequate. Because it's the weak and the inadequate that know that they're weak and inadequate that are the ones who are perhaps willing to seek God for help. And when we seek God for help, God is able to pour out his Spirit upon us, to equip us, to strengthen us, to enable us and empower us. That's the encouragement. Whereas the warning in the story of the Tower of Babel is that it gives us a picture of what happens when people grasp at power. When people arrogantly rely upon their own abilities. The result is that the desire for power and the pursuit of power divides people. It divides people from God, and it divides people from one another. If you doubt that, just look at the dynamics at work amongst our politicians in Westminster at the moment. The Babel builders wanted power. They wanted power for the sake of self-glorification and self-protection. And it cost them their unity. It cost them their ability to relate to each other. Pentecost shows us that the power of God has nothing to do with self-protection and self-advancement, and everything to do with bringing people together, restoring relationship, bringing unity, and enabling heart-to-heart communication. The power given at Pentecost enabled Peter and the apostles to communicate, to make connections, to see the common threads running throughout the history of God's dealings with his people. And it empowered them to participate in God's purposes to proclaim in word and deed the power made perfect in weakness. The power of the cross of Christ. And of course that same power is available to us today. We might not be completely overwhelmed by wind and tongues and fire, but if we are willing to let God be God, if we are willing to not try and usurp him, if we are willing to trust God for our own well-being rather than to rely on our own strength and understanding, if we are willing to lay down power and find our security and our significance in Christ, rather than being ambitious and self-promoting, then God will pour out his Spirit in our lives. And we too will be brought into communion with others and will be empowered to play our part in his purposes, empowered to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, even in Derby. Amen.